I would like to draw your attention to the New Testament, Galatians chapter 3. I would like to read from verse 1 to verse 14. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did ye receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and to our lives. I would like us to look at that phrase in verse 11. It says, the righteous or the just shall live by faith. This was the verse that moved the heart of the great reformer Martin Luther while he was teaching through Galatians. He came upon this important verse, and he realized that he did not have to be doing all the works in order to be acceptable to God. The just shall live by faith. Now, before I look at this verse, I would like to see what Paul is doing here in Galatians. Let's just get an understanding of this letter here. Paul was away for some time, and he heard that there were Judaizers, Jewish believers, who infiltrated the churches at the province of Galatia. And these Judaizers were proclaiming a different gospel from the gospel that Paul proclaimed to the Galatians. Paul preached that one is justified by faith alone. But these Judaizers came into the church and were proclaiming that it is not sufficient to believe in Christ alone to be acceptable to God. You must believe in Christ and also perform the requirements of the law, which included mainly circumcision, keeping the Sabbath, and certain food laws. You must abstain from certain foods. And Paul says, no, no, to be a Christian, you are not to become a Jew first, to become a Christian. No, to be a Christian, all you must do is simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's it. And so Paul wrote this letter to deal with this heresy in the church, false teaching. It begins Galatians, first of all, by proclaiming that his knowledge of the gospel was revealed to him. He didn't go to any individuals to learn the gospel. It was revealed to him directly by the Lord Jesus Christ. He received it through revelation. Not like me and other preachers and teachers of the Bible who went to seminary to learn. No, Paul received that revelation directly from Christ, like all the other apostles. And then Paul describes this gospel as the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's grace manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the basis of faith in Christ, we are saved. You become a Christian, you don't have to do anything else to be acceptable to God. You don't have to add any other religious rituals. You don't have to read your Bible 10 times a day. You don't have to pray for 15 hours a day. Even though these are extremely important, but we don't do these things to be acceptable to God. God accepts us based upon what Christ has done alone. And so Paul is arguing now that this principle of faith and not works to be acceptable to God is not new. It is as old as the Bible itself, that God accepts us based upon faith and faith alone. And so he argues from the Old Testament, he points to verses in the Old Testament to prove that faith alone is the only means by which God accepts us. And that's what he does in chapter 3. He proves that point from the life of Abraham. The life of Abraham, the father of faith. So he says that Abraham, who, by the way, was not a Jew when God called him, he was a Gentile. God called Abraham, and God gave Abraham some promises. And then later on in Abraham's life, God took Abraham outside and he showed him the stars, the sky. And God said to Abraham, your descendants will be like the stars of the sky. Many, many descendants. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, which Paul quotes here in Galatians 3 and verse 6, that Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. See, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And the law came 430 years after Abraham. Right? So faith existed before the law. And that's exactly what Paul is refuting here in Galatians. He's saying that we are not justified by obedience to the law, but by faith. And that was the principle long before the law was given to the people of Israel. So let's move forward then to our text, because I want to be a little brief this morning, but I want to make sure I lay out what's very important for us to remember. So I want to, first of all, ask and answer the question, who are the just, or who are the righteous? Because in our text, Galatians 3:11, it says, the righteous shall live by faith, or the just shall live by faith. So the question then is, who are the just? Who are the righteous? Well, let me define, first of all, who are the righteous, or what it means to be righteous, or what it means to be just. So the righteous, or the just, are those whom God has declared innocent before him based on their faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be righteous, or to mean to be just before God. Those whom God has declared to be innocent based on their faith in the finished work of Christ. Now, from this definition, I want you to be very clear that I did not say those whom God had made righteous or made innocent, but those whom he has declared innocent. So let me explain this further. And I want to explain it further by saying, first of all, that no one is born righteous. No one is born just. And that's the problem with all human beings. We are all guilty before God, the judge of the universe. We are all guilty. And because we are all guilty in the eyes of God, the judge of the universe, it means that we are in a state of condemnation before God. Because of original sin. Sin that we have inherited from Adam. So the picture that we should keep in our minds is that God is the judge of the universe. And we are his subjects. And before God, we are all found guilty because of our sin that we have inherited from Adam. Therefore, we all are condemned to death. Right? God is the judge. We are the subjects. We stand before the courts of heaven. And God says that every human being is guilty before him. None of us can escape this verdict before the God of the universe. We are guilty because of original sin that we have inherited from Adam. And so from the time a baby is conceived in the womb of his or her mother, that baby is considered guilty and innocent. Guilty in the eyes of God. Not guilty and innocent. Guilty in the eyes of God because of original sin. Even if that baby has not done anything wrong, But we all inherit, you see, Adam's guilt. And so you don't have to teach a child to lie, right? Why? Because it's in our nature. That's human nature. But we are guilty not only because we have inherited Adam's sin, but we are guilty because we have all sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Oh, well, someone might say, no, I have never done anything wrong. Well, may I say that you have also not do what you ought to do. So there is sin by commission. In other words, we do what we ought not to do. God says that we should not make any graven images. God says that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. We should love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our might. Have we done that? Absolutely not. We're sinned by omission. We have failed to do what we ought to do. And we sin by commission. We do the things that we ought not to do. So it meant, sorry? A commission, right? Sorry? Omission, we omit the things we ought to do. Right? And commission, we do the things that we ought not to do. Right? So it matters not where we turn. We find ourselves in a trap with God. We're lost. We're guilty before him. We fail to do our job in the presence of God. We are guilty before him. And therefore, we are under God's wrath. Under his wrath. God requires perfect obedience. So even if we have obeyed in some areas, if we have failed in one area, then we are guilty of all. And so if I keep the 7 day, if I'm a Sabbatarian and I faithfully keep the Sabbath day, but I fail to follow the other commandments, then I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm guilty before God. Because God requires perfect obedience. And what is that perfect obedience? Love for God, love for neighbors. So no one is born righteous. But also, we cannot do anything to deliver ourselves from this guilt and condemnation. And that's part of the problem. We are not just guilty, but we are also helpless. We cannot deliver ourselves. Right? We cannot obey the law because the law is powerless. In fact, that was not the purpose for which the law was given. The law was not given for human beings to be acceptable before God. In fact, the law was given to Israel after they came out of Egypt, after God called them his people. So the law was not given for them to become God's people. They were already God's people. The law was given to them to show them the need for God. That was the purpose of the law. To expose our sinfulness and to point us to the Lord Jesus Christ, to show us that we have need for a Savior, to point us to Christ. The Bible says the law was like a schoolmaster until the coming of Christ. So why did God give the Israelites the law then, that they may trust in him, not in themselves. And so no one was able to shake himself or herself from the power of sin. No one throughout all of the history was able to obey God. But then came God himself to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. That's where Jesus Christ comes in. That's the reason why he came into the world. He came to live a perfect life, to die a sacrificial death, and to be raised from death for our justification, for our acceptance before God. So it is through his obedience, his active obedience, his passive obedience, all the way from his birth to the cross, he obeyed every requirement of the law. Jesus Christ, the only one who was able to obey the law, because he was not a sinner. Jesus Christ was not affected by Adam's sin because he did not have a human father. And that's the difference between Christ and all other human beings. He was the only human being who came into this world and did not commit any sin, because there was no sin in him. Sinless. He obeyed every requirement of the law. And you know, when we often think about our relationship with God, we often think about the things we do not do. But I see, Jesus Christ did not only refrain from doing the things that he ought not to do, but he also did what he ought to do. You see? So Jesus Christ did not only die for our sins, but he also lived for our righteousness. In other words, when Jesus Christ died, we were not only delivered from God's wrath, but God also imputed to us the righteousness of Christ. In other words, when we come to faith in Christ, God sees us as obeying the law perfectly as Jesus Christ himself. And so he gives to us the righteousness of Christ. And when he looks upon you in Christ, he says that you have obeyed him. You have obeyed the law perfectly, 100%. Oh, well, someone might say, are you kidding me? I have obeyed the law 100%? Well, in practice, we don't. But in the eyes of God, in Christ, we have. Because Christ obeyed for us. He rendered perfect obedience to the law. In his death, he gave himself as a sacrifice on our behalf. So, the just, the righteous, are those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and not in themselves, and stand before God as those who are innocent, those who have obeyed the law perfectly, those whom God have accepted based upon their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God would not accept us. We cannot have a relationship with God apart from faith in Christ. And so the next question then is, what does it mean to live by faith? Our text says, for the just shall live by faith. What does it mean to live by faith? Well, if you notice carefully in your Bible, in Galatians 3:11, that phrase, the righteous shall live by faith, is a citation from the Old Testament. The Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. So in order for us to understand what Paul is saying here, we must go back to the Old Testament passage and see what Habakkuk says about this statement. And then we can apply it and understand what Paul is saying. Apply it to our lives by the grace of God. So let's look at Habakkuk. It's a very short prophecy in the Old Testament. It only has three chapters. And the prophet Habakkuk really is dealing with a crisis of faith. The crisis of faith. You see, Habakkuk trusted in the Lord. And he believed that God would not allow evil. Evil especially among the people of Israel. But the prophet Habakkuk looked around the land of Israel and he saw rampant evil and wickedness in the land of Israel. And so he prayed to the Lord and he said, God, why didn't you do something about this evil? Do something about it. You are too pure and holy to allow evil to prevail. Why don't you do something about this evil in the land of Israel among your own people? Do something about it. Then the Lord answered Habakkuk and said, yes, indeed, I will do something about sin. But what I will do, you will not understand. And so God said to Habakkuk that he will raise up the Babylonians to deal with the Israelites. And that threw Habakkuk into more confusion because he was not expecting such an answer. How can God raise up a nation more evil than Israel to punish his people? How can God do that? And so the prophet became frustrated. His concern was not removed. He became more anxious. Why would a holy God raise up a nation more evil than Israel to punish his own people? And so he went back to the Lord, and the Lord answered him again with this very simple response in verse 4 of Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk 2 and verse 4. Behold, as for the proud one, actually, let's read from verse 1. Habakkuk says, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he, the Lord, will speak to me, and how I may reply when I am reproved. So Habakkuk says, I will wait upon the Lord for an answer. Verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come, it will not delay. God is simply saying here is, I will answer in my time, and my delay is not denial. See, sometimes we pray and it seems as if God is not answering us. he's delaying. Well, God's delays are not his denials. That's what he's saying here to Habakkuk. And so what should Habakkuk do while he's waiting upon an answer from God? What should he do while he's waiting for God to take action? Well, in verse 4, it says, "Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by faith." See that? Two different people in verse 4. You have the proud one. And the proud one is the one who trusts in himself or herself. A proud person is the one who does not depend upon God. The proud one is the one who says, "I would do it my way. I will not depend upon God." And in fact, you see, pride is the quintessential sin. That's a sin that Adam and Eve committed in the Garden of Eden. They said that they will do it their way and not God's way. That's the essence of sin. And in fact, that is the breaking of the very first commandment. "You shall worship no other gods besides me," and pride is really self-worship. All other religions, apart from Christianity, is self-worship. That's what it boils down to. Depending on oneself. Anyone who is not trusting in Christ for salvation is trusting in themselves. It matters not what other religion, it boils down to what I can do for myself, for God to accept me. And that's pride in the eyes of God. On the other hand, contrary to the proud person, there is the one who is righteous. Notice it says, "But the righteous will live by faith." And so the opposite of the proud person is the one who trusts in God. And that's what it is. That's what it means to live by faith. To rely entirely on God. To rely entirely upon Him. Sometimes we may not understand what exactly He is doing, but we must rely upon His word. We must trust in what He says. Even when we don't understand, we should rely upon Him. So when we come to Galatians, you see, Paul's adversaries in Galatians, they were still trusting in the law which God gave. And they failed to realize that the new covenant has now come into existence through Christ. And so God is now dealing with his people not based upon the law, but based upon faith in Christ, the new covenant, and Christ alone. But Paul's opponents were still focusing on the Old Testament. You must become a Jew. You must be circumcised. You must follow certain food laws. You must keep the Sabbath. They were still focusing on the Old Testament. And they were saying that it is not Christ alone. It is Christ plus circumcision. Christ plus the Sabbath. Christ plus abstaining from certain foods. And Paul says, no, for a person is justified by faith in Christ alone apart from the law. Absolute reliance upon Christ and Christ alone, because that's what God says. Paul didn't come up with this truth. As we said in the beginning, it was revealed to him. He was sent to the Gentiles with this message that they are accepted by God by faith in Christ alone. The Gentiles do not have to become proselytes. They don't have to be converted to Judaism to be acceptable to God, but is faith in Christ alone. And that is it for us, my brothers and sisters, that God accepts us based upon Christ alone. Faith in Christ, reliance upon his work. It is not how much we do for Christ, but it's our faith in him and him alone. See, there are many people today who are in bondage because they still rely upon their own works, what they can do for God to accept them. No, God accepts us as we are based upon faith in his Son, his crucified and risen Son, the gospel. That's why Jesus Christ came, to deliver us. He came to die for our sins. And he died for our sins. And he was raised for our justification. Right? There is a Sunday school definition for justification. God sees us just as if we have never sinned. Right? So that's what it means to be just, to be declared righteous. God doesn't make us righteous. In other words, when we are declared righteous before God, we are not perfect. Doesn't make us perfect in practice. As Luther would say, we are at the same time saints and sinners. Right? Simultaneous righteous and sinner. Why? Because we are still in the body of sin. We are not made perfect. We are not made righteous. We are declared righteous, like someone who stands before a judge and is found guilty and he's sent off to prison. And then one day he's set free from prison. He cannot be charged for that particular sin. He's set free. He's declared innocent. He can go and live his life. But it doesn't mean that this person will not commit another evil and go back to prison. But he or she cannot be convicted of that sin that they committed the first time. They are declared innocent from this sin. But it doesn't make them perfect. And in the same way, when God declares us innocent, declares us righteous, it doesn't make us perfect yet. Perfection comes when Jesus Christ returns. So we are at the same time just, we are at the same time righteous. But the important thing is that we should continue living by faith. Complete reliance upon God through the Lord Jesus Christ, not upon ourselves. Father, we thank you for this simple message. We often make it so complicated that it is just faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to go through any rituals, simply faith in Christ alone. So I pray for each person here today, and for myself, help us, Lord, to live by faith in Christ and Christ alone. For Christ's sake, amen and amen.